Blog Talk Radio.
So your studio is wherever you are when it's time to get on. How about then?
Out of the tree of life, I just picked me a plum. You came along and everything started to hum. Still, it's a real good bet, the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? You think you've seen the sun, but you ain't seen it shine. Wait till the warm-up's underway. Wait till our lips have met. Wait till you see that sunshine day. Nothing yet. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come. Come the day you're mine. Come the day you're mine. I'm gonna teach you to fly. We've only tasted the wine. We're gonna train a cut dry. Wait till your charms are right for these arms to surround. You think you've flown before, but you ain't left the ground. Wait till you're locked in my embrace. Wait till I draw you near. Sunshine place, ain't nothing like it here. The best is yet to come, and babe, won't it be fine? The best is yet to come, come the day you're mine. Oh, of a tree of life, I just picked me a plum.
It's 3 p.m. This is Friday.
It's 4 p.m.
I'm sorry. You're right. This is 4 p.m. We changed the time for this week's show. This is The Last Word with Michael Lawson.
And this week, you know, we are at.
And we are broadcasting this week from the gorgeous Shell Island Resort.
Wrightsville
Beach, North Carolina, looking right out at the ocean from
beautiful
the
waves. Yeah.
Beautiful dining area.
Yeah.
And this is going to be a great show today.
And my guest is...
I just have a question for you. Do you know who your politicians are?
You say you know who or who are your politicians are?
Okay, we're back. We just lost the connection. I have no idea what happened, but we lost the connection. But we'll dispense with that. Well, here I am with a young man, and you can tell us your name.
My name is Matt.
You can move closer, Matt.
Okay.
Not going to bite you.
No problem.
Give me some, please.
And do you give us your whole name, Matt.
Oh, okay. Well, my name is Matthew Vincent Rigoni, and I am a bartender at the Lovely Show.
You're my favorite.
He is the guy to know.
He is the man that knows everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Matt, how long have you been here at the Shell Resort?
Oh, April 1st will be 5 years for me.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
A bunch of drinks, haven't
you? Yes, I have.
Now, I was speaking to the young man. What was his name?
That's Chris.
Chris. Well, see, I told Chris. I like margaritas.
Oh, yeah.
See, and every time I go to a place to have dinner and I have a margarita, I always got to send it back because they never make it correct. And you see, I like my margaritas in a martini glass.
Okay.
And then I like ice. I like the salt again, lime. But when they're shaking up the margarita to make it cold, I like the margarita poured straight up into the martini glass, but the ice in a side glass because that ice has margarita.
Exactly.
And normally what they do, they take and throw out that ice and they bring the new ice. Now, who are these people? Have they ever made drinks before?
I don't know. That's another thing. You know, and a lot of people do. You can always tell when people really do enjoy a good drink because they'll always request that you make a second drink in the same glass.
Absolutely.
You want that leftover ice.
Absolutely. That's why I keep my glass with the same ice in it. And I make my own. I pour my own.
There you go. Sometimes you got to do it yourself.
So now, where are you from?
Originally, I was born in Anchorage, Alaska.
Evidently, because you don't have a North Carolina in that.
But I moved here from Raleigh about 6 years ago.
Very good, very good. And you moved down here for what reason?
I lived in Raleigh. Mm-hmm. I grew up basically in Raleigh, and mm-hmm. My whole family lives there, and I just was ready for a little change of scenery, and mm-hmm. I finished my first 2 years at Wake Tech Community College and mm-hmm. moved down here mm-hmm. to transfer to UNCW.
Oh, that's right.
So, oh, yeah.
This is a gorgeous view.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, is this a gorgeous view from here?
A restaurant with the best view on the island.
Oh, I don't know.
And one on three sides.
You should be here, ladies and gentlemen. We're sitting in a restaurant. And Walt is tempting me. He just had some Arnold shrimp or something. On the way. What did you have, Walter?
Grouper.
I had grouper last night. Grouper. I made grouper last night for myself. And my wife went out to bed.
And I'm sorry about that. But you can't have any.
Well, he ate it, but that's why I can't have it. But anyway, this is a picturesque sight I'm looking out the window. Mm-hmm. As far as you can see, you see ocean. Mm-hmm. And it is brilliant.
And there's a bunch of people down here, too.
And there's a bunch of people on the beach. There's a little chilly out there for me. And I don't swim. But I love the beach. I go, and I always tell the story of every time I come to a beach. My oldest daughter, when she was young, about 6 years old, I used to tell her I was in New York, Brooklyn, and we used to go to Jones Beach. And I would take her out in the water up to my neck, up to the bottom of my mouth. And she would say, "Daddy, I'll father." I said, "No, I can't. I have her up on my shoulders." And we'd stay out there. She splashed around and come back in. The next day, I took her to the movies. We saw Jaws. And I said, "Never again am I going in the water." When they say that, 60% of all shark bites occur in 3 feet of water.
Yeah.
Get out of here. But I didn't go into water for 6 years after that. And then I went on that's why I never went on a cruise before. And I went on my first cruise about 2 years ago. But now we're looking at Carver with the Charger. But that was an older ship. Something must have happened with that ship because I had a fabulous time.
Well, it's probably
the
big time.
Yeah, well, it's 14 years old. But getting back to you. Now, are you married?
I'm single.
You're single. So this is a great spot for you.
Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you.
And Matthew, your eyes are 20/20, right?
This place over here is excited to have a great bar. I can't wait to get to it. But just to come to the restaurant to look at the view is fabulous. I want to tell you.
And the name of it is?
And the name of it is the show.
And the address is?
2714. Well, my GPS is 2714, but 2700.
Mm-hmm.
Lumina Avenue.
North
Lumina Avenue.
Yes,
Yeah. Riceville Beach.
Yeah.
And you need to come down here, ladies and gentlemen, because those, you will enjoy it. And really, I guess all year round, because it's now February.
Mm-hmm.
And
we're filled for this week.
And this week, right, because you see, I originally ordered a 10, and I'm in the double. Because they couldn't switch me out. So whoever made the reservation, I should have called back, but I didn't. But hey, the double is nice. I got a kitchen. I got a refrigerator for some great goods. I have a beautiful terrace. Look, it's really fabulous. So, are you working tonight?
I am, yes, sir.
You're working tonight?
I am.
Oh.
And if you want to call,
910-956-9686.
9686.
Say the number again. 910-256-8696. And that's where you can make a reservation, but tonight is full. I'm sorry. Maybe tomorrow night.
If you mention Michael or Walter, you might get a discount.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
If you mention Matt, you get double discount.
Oh, is that right? Oh, hey, that's the way to do it. Now, so how late are you open here in the bar?
We'll be open until 9 o'clock tonight.
9 o'clock?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Those off-season hours, man. We got down pretty quickly.
Well, I didn't bring my great boots with me.
But then you're at the beach and everybody's been out playing all day, so by 9 o'clock they're ready to go and enjoy their
room. Well, hey, I need to get out to
just
ABC store. Where's that?
Actually not too far away, maybe about two and a half miles from here.
Thank you.
So yeah, not bad at all.
Don't go away. See, now I need to have him say now this is the other bartender.
Was she bartender too?
Yes, sir.
And tell us your name, Chris.
My name is Chris Lutz.
You need to go a little closer.
A little closer. I'm Chris Lutz. Hello, world.
Yeah, okay. Now, he's the other bartender going tomorrow night. How are you open tomorrow night?
Same time. I think we close around.
Well, I definitely need to go to the ABC store.
Tomorrow night, there will be an extension of the bar because somebody will have the bar across from the banquet.
Oh.
At some point, we will talk about the North Carolina Black Leadership Caucus band.
Oh, yeah, we're going to do that. I'm going for 3 hours here. But you know, the thing is that I need to make sure that I get some sort of bottle of Grey Goose.
Oh, yeah.
For tomorrow.
It's essential.
Yeah. And how late are they open down here?
We'll be open until 9.
Oh, the ABC store.
Oh, yeah. 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. All right. That means I got
2 hours.
2 hours.
2 hours.
2 hours.
Find your goose.
I need it. And, I want to thank both you guys because I will definitely be seeing you later.
Absolutely.
And you tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So, is you out with
that? He's working outside. What is your favorite food here? Because it's this restaurant. I'm drooling over here. What do you have?
You need to talk with the chef about the menu.
Oh, yeah, I need to talk about
it.
What do you like? What do you like here?
I really like our shrimp and grits, actually.
See, what's a grit? Oh, no, that's another movie.
Oh, man.
I like the shrimp.
You're not from around here, are you?
I'm from around here. I don't do grits. But,
I love a grit.
I said they give me grits. I don't do it. But the shrimp and grits are good. Okay, so the group I know smell very good.
Yeah, the
group is good. What other fish you
have? Tonight we'll also have, we're having salmon.
Ooh, love salmon.
Yeah.
Love salmon.
Yeah.
And then there's also a special tonight, right?
No, that actually is the special. It's Valentine's. Seasoned. Yes, we do have. We're doing dinner for two for $50, mm-hmm. and it includes a soup or salad for each person, mm-hmm. entree for each person, dessert for each person, and a bottle of wine for $50.
Well, I'll be here soon after the show. Go upstairs. There's some shade. We put on some.
What kind of wine is that?
You get a choice of Chardonnay, Pinot Grigio, Cabernet, or Merlot.
Oh, well, see, now I have the Pinot Grigio.
Yeah.
With my fish tonight.
Yeah.
This will be a fish weekend. And since this Lent started, I promised myself I was going to lose 10 pounds. So there'll be no bread for me, no rice, no potatoes. It's just salad and the fish.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of. Dessert, you know?
We have a hazelnut chocolate mousse.
Oh, Now you see.
But you all are dying.
I gave up candy, and I gave up rice and potatoes and starches, and I gave up. I didn't eat my my chocolate eclair that I had before I left. But
that's tough to give up.
The chocolate mousse. I might have to make a little exception for tonight.
Well, at Shell Island Resort, we only do this once a year.
Hey, there it is.
And we have
See,
to. You know,
this is once a year. So I have to be able to swing that. I'm going to swing that. I'm going to be able to do that. So
we can forgive you for once a year.
Okay, once a year. Well, anyway, it was an amazing trip down here. It was very straightforward. I was calling Walter every half hour, make sure I was on the right way. And
North Carolina and its great roads.
And its great roads, right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens in the next 4 years with the funding that they
get. Because we've had some great governors.
Yeah, that's true. We've had some great governors. That's absolutely true. So, now, what else do they do around here? What else does the hotel provide for the client or the customer that's here?
We have all kinds of different things. We have a lot of different contracts, even with companies around the area. Places we have a certain spa that will do in-room service. You can get nails done, hair, makeup, anything like that. You can get it done right there. They bring the team to you, and they do it right there in the room. And all you got to do is call down to the front desk. They'll get you up there. Things like that. We also have different contracts with jet ski rental places. During the summertime, there's a camp that comes out here, a surf camp that teaches classes right outside. You can walk.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, if you're staying here, you can walk right out the front door. I think it's like $10 for like a 2-hour.
Mm-hmm.
They do that 5-6 days a week. So.
How about the bartending school? The search game, I'm not
interested.
If I'm on the boat, that's fine.
Well, I tell you, sharks
have a tendency to grab.
They have great banquet facilities here. We have great bar and eating facilities. They have a great staff of personnel that will bend over backwards. And see, it looked like we got a crowd here from church today, in addition to the North Carolina Black Leadership Caucus. And there's going to be, there's a third group that is here.
Yes.
We're packed to the gill, and everybody's happy, and we're coming back.
Hey.
We're coming back.
Welcome back to the wife down here. Yeah. And they have a group, I think it's really, is this the same church here? Is this the church?
Do you know, Matt? I'm sorry?
Is this the church?
This is actually, this was a team building. This is a group of nurses and firefighters that have come out for the weekend, and they're doing basically a big team building exercise.
All right.
They were out on the out there earlier doing egg toss, and they had a water balloon fight and things like that, and they just all got dressed up.
Not shots or anything?
I haven't made any shots for them just yet, no.
Okay, well, this is really good. And I tell you what, the room was very nice. The room,
something already decorated.
She must be a firefighter.
Anyway,
the room is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And as
all of them are suites, no rooms.
Yes, that's right.
They're all suites.
Yeah. Right. She introduced to my bathroom. I couldn't believe it. I said, I went in one door and I said, where am I at? I'm around the corner. And I,
You've got two bathrooms?
Two bathrooms?
Yeah, right.
I think they do.
Yeah, two bathrooms.
Yeah, that's right, two bathrooms. That's right. Because I went in the one and I was coming in the other. I said, what's going on? Where am I at? What's going on?
Very unique.
It was very unique. And the living room is nice.
Mm-hmm.
And the terrace is nice. You look right up as you want. So I am very pleased so far. And my sign-up nerd just stopped bothering me. Maybe it's that pillow tip. Did I take my pill?
Maybe it's sitting in a better seat.
Maybe it's sitting in a better seat. That could be. But we're going to bring you a lot of other stuff today. You've got Marshall Harvey calling in.
Okay.
And probably Grace, if she's
Grace?
In between. She's going to Florida, so she said she's going to try calling from the airport.
Great.
And
I'll put the word out. Tell Nancy Shack to call.
Oh, I did. Because she said she'd be here like 3 o'clock.
All right.
So is she here? Have you seen her?
She didn't tell him. I have not seen her.
Okay.
Maybe just had to. Ring up her cell phone and find out where is she.
You can do that. And Matt, I think what time do you normally start getting crowded here in the hotel?
It kind of depends. Usually not until about maybe 6, 7.
Okay, good. So I'll be on to 7, and I'd like to see some of these people interview some of them and see how they love the place. And I'm sure you know the parking was great. The parking was easy.
Who's the manager?
Our GM is Heidi Bass,
mm-hmm.
and she actually just took over recently. She's doing a great job, and then we have a couple other managers here today. My boss, actually, our restaurant manager, Shannon's here as well. She said,
oh, she's the restaurant manager?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, she was the one who was so shy?
Yes, that's her.
Yeah. How are you going to be shy and be mad? How is that possible?
She's a great people person.
Oh, mm-hmm. Okay.
But
we'll make sure we get Shannon on here. Give her a couple of drinks or something, maybe she'll
loosen her up. She'll get to go.
Absolutely. So, what is when you hear them in some room, the favorite thing you like?
Here at work or outside work?
Outside work.
You know, it's been a while. I really enjoy surfing, and it's kind of a shame because here it's not not the greatest place for it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you have a really good day out there, everybody's out here.
You've got beautiful water.
You're just saying that the water isn't as rough over here?
Right, yes. Okay. I mean, we really don't get up a lot of, like, chest-high waves that you really need.
Well, I don't need that, so it's good for me. I like that. Now, how far can you walk out there before it's over your head?
Well, from here, I'd say maybe about 15, maybe even 20 yards or so. Once you get out there, there's actually, when you get about right below chest deep, there's a major dune right out in front here.
Oh.
And then you go right, for me personally, it gets right back up to about waist deep. And then you can turn around and then you can keep going if you want to. I usually don't go very much.
Well, tell us about the story about this hotel once being right in the edge of the water.
Oh, well,
yeah, they had to do a facelift on the sand.
they had to rebuild the whole place. It originally opened in 86, and around, I think, 96, 97, there was a point where during high to the north, the water was getting so close that at high tide, the water was actually hitting the building.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, they thought that they were just going to let it go, and that eventually it would take over, and this basically would fall into the water.
Mm-hmm.
So all the rooms here are privately owned.
Yeah.
So they actually were selling them dirt cheap. I mean, they were going for about $35 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And what they ended up doing was the people who started buying them up voted with the city.
So is it a timeshare or?
Well, no, that they can be. When you buy a unit, you have the option of whether or not to be on the rental program. So you can actually buy a unit here, and no one ever stays in your room but you, friends, and family.
Oh, okay.
So if you want it to be just your own place, you can. But if you join the rental program, then when you're not here, whenever somebody checks in, it's
makes
totally
money.
So is RCI connected to this room, or is it private?
It's totally private.
Okay.
Our actual bosses are the homeowners association of all the people that are out here.
Oh,
They're the main.
That is very unique.
And they.
But now that $35,000 was a long time ago.
I want to say they probably go for about $220 on average now. So. So the people that bought them back then, when they were going for $35 a piece, are laughing all the way to the bank.
You know that? I mean, as you said, today I'm here with Walter Rogers, who's the president of the North Carolina Black Leadership Project. And this is his last banquet.
Thank you. Sir.
But we'll be getting to Walter in a minute. But we need to see him here. He's that's the voice you hear in the background, ladies and gentlemen. That's Walter White. Anyway, the thing that I noticed was how well kept the rooms were. And I said, you know, it was in the back of my mind. I came to, man, this is unusual.
Yeah, about, I'd say, when I actually, my very first year here, so going on 5 years now, 5 years ago, they had an 8-month project that cost, and it was $11 million, and they completely revamped this whole
thing. Is that right?
And they did every room. They did this restaurant. This restaurant actually used to be where we are now, used to be the main ballroom, and the restaurant used to be what the ballroom is now.
Oh.
So, but they kind of
moved it closer.
Yep. And what it did really was, when you look at the size comparison, because once you guys see the ballroom, you'll definitely see that the ballroom is much larger, so they were able to accommodate larger parties and things like that.
So how do people, maybe I'm missing something here, how do people make reservations to come if they're all private run, and some people don't rent out their places?
Some people don't, and all they do is in our system, we have everyone that's on the rental program. Mm-hmm. So if you own a room and it's not, you don't want it.
Not on the program.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Then room is just not an option.
So then when you're not here, do people come in and take care of it?
We have a full staff of housekeepers. Okay. I mean, we're all here. The restaurant's open year-round. Everyone's here year-round. And what they do is they actually, even though the homeowners run it, they have hired us, and we keep up with the day-to-day. That's what Heidi does. You know, as our GM, she's kind of the day-to-day boss, and then she reports directly to the homeowners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So,
but ladies and gentlemen, you really need to come out to see us. Yeah, I just said, and I'm looking at there's a boardwalk on the shore of the overpass that goes, takes you out to the beach. I'm looking at it right now. Mm-hmm. He's got some umbrellas on it, and there's some other. What's that umbrella over there?
This is all out here is our pool area, and then we have a little playground for the kids, and then actually the next building over is just a house. We're the last property. Mm-hmm. We're the northernmost property on the beach, so you literally can't miss it.
That's why we got water on three sides.
Yeah, exactly.
Water on three sides. That is really unbelievable. Out here is
and it's outside anyway. As you go on, you can look out across the ocean as you go on.
And you take pictures.
It's exciting.
Yeah,
you
want to do that?
Exciting.
And so now, what's on the schedule here? The restaurant will be closed at 9.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so you'll all be over at 7. That means they can make it to ABC, come back, and then what time is the program start? Oh, yeah. Where is this ABC for?
Has this name ABC, so I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah, but it's on.
But it's actually on right
now. We'll find out by 7 o'clock.
Exactly. It's really easy to get here. To get there from here, all you do is you come out of our parking lot.
Mm-hmm.
You take the right at the first light. You go over the drawbridge.
Mm-hmm.
Take a left at the first light, and that's Wrightsville Avenue. And there's a large shopping center on the left on Wrightsville, and the ABC store is right out
there. A lot of businesses on Wrightsville Avenue, too.
Yeah, I saw Wrightsville Avenue when I came over here, but I had to come over that bridge.
Yes.
So what is that? What's that? That's a long bridge.
That's the main drawbridge, and that is actually the bridge.
That's a drawbridge?
It's the drawbridge, and they're doing the repair. And then so hopefully it'll be ready for the summertime. But they'll do that, and that is actually the bridge that as soon as you cross onto the island, that's Wrightsville Beach. When you go back over, you're in Wilmington, North Carolina. That's the bridge that separates the two.
Okay, very good, very good. Well, I want to thank you, Matt, for taking time out and sitting down with us. And anybody wants to call in, so give us the information how you can call in and make a reservation.
The number to call is 910-256-8696. And this is pretty much all automated, but you can hit 0, get connected directly to somebody at the front desk, or you can go on numerous different websites, TripAdvisor, things like that, where you can book a room directly off the internet.
And there is a reservation service.
Before
Matt get gone, Michael,
yes,
I need to tell him that the North Carolina Black Leadership Caucus is going to be having a reception here. We're going to have it here at his bar from 7 to 9 tonight.
Oh, exactly.
So you'll be having special company.
Okay.
They all know that. Everybody knows that.
They used to be a football team back in
the day. No, they are still, because they now got rid of that clown for the defensive coach. And no, whenever you have to cover 400 yards in six straight games in the second half in order to get close or to win, there has to be something wrong to do that.
Yeah, that's true. Bob, so, he's gone for a reason.
Yeah, that's right. He's gone for a reason. Well, I want to thank you, Matt.
Absolutely. Thank you guys for having me.
I appreciate it.
You know that.
Yeah, right. Have a good one. We'll see you later on tonight.
Okay, very good. Walter, you can put that in. So you, if
someone's
put it right
here,
you can put it right here, Walter. Coach, we got some things to talk about here. One, I'm hoping Grace would come in and give us some any updates about her her recent
appearance at North Carolina.
Council of Review.
Democratic Party.
Council of Review.
Council of Review.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because has anybody seen you, Mayor? Has there been a sighting?
I haven't.
Oh. Has anybody been a sighting of Billy Clark?
Not that they made it public.
Oh, they haven't made it public. Well, yeah. I guess Democratic Party wouldn't want to make that public anyway. But we have some things that we need to talk about. I mean, hey, minimum wage. Got to talk about that, Walter.
We're going to talk about minimum wage. We're going to talk about a lot of things, but we're going to talk about the North Carolina Black Leadership Caucus annual weekend at the Sheraton Resort right now, right?
We're going to do that. We're also going to be talking about the poor, ambitious claims that Mr. President Obama wants us to take care of.
And you'll probably talk about the state of North Carolina legislature today deciding they would not do the health plan, leaving out over 500,000 people with no health insurance.
Okay, but you know that's only a blip. He's going to change his mind.
But though, well, I hope so, because what that does, but you know, it's amazing, and I said this with Larry Kissel a bunch of times, it's amazing how people can have health plan benefit them. What kind of health plan does the state of North Carolina provide for the Speaker of the House?
Ooh,
and,
you know,
I don't understand why people don't want you to have the same thing that they have. That's why
they want to look down their noses. Trust me. But we'll be talking about that, you know, just like that cool Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and everything. But first, let's get to the Black Leadership Caucus. Why are we here this weekend? Tell us, Walter.
Michael, we are here to celebrate four consecutive banquets that have been held by the North Carolina Black Leadership Caucus, a statewide organization concerned about the social, economic, and political well-being of low-wealth people. And low-wealth is an economic condition. It is not a cause.
Low wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? There is a TV show called Justified on FX. I love the show. And it's about this marshal who wears the $10 hat, still wears the boots. He was in Miami. And after giving some guy a warning about this drug deal, about getting out of town, or if he was going to shoot him, the drug dealer didn't believe him, so he shot him. And he... his boss said, no, you got this, not the Wild West. You better go back to where I got you from. He said, no, don't send me back there. It was the hills of Kentucky.
Huh.
So his boss, who set him up, brought him along and made and showed him the ropes. He's now working for him again. And what they show is poor people. This is really what I like about the show is it's not, you know, all these shows you see about detectives and whatnot, they always show in the city and they show how the rich people are committing murder and robbing and cheating everything. This show deals with the economic deprived class. And yet they even have some rich people in it. But the people in this show are just trying to make a living, trying to survive. Mm-hmm. And the thing is about it, they're trying to survive, so some are doing drugs, they're running numbers, they're doing all sorts of illegal activities.
By whatever means possible.
Whatever, they're doing moonshine, because there is not a lot of industry.
Michael, it may not be on your agenda, but
mm-hmm.
one of the things I want to talk about before you're gone today
mm-hmm.
is the murder of one of the LAPD officers by one of their own.
Mm-hmm.
I found that, you know, you take a fellow who's been in the military as many years as that guy was, he joins the police department, you know, and his partners of people.
Mm-hmm.
So he files a complaint about abusing people. So then, you know how, you know, you see all these stories about the L.A. Police Department
mm-hmm.
and, you know, Clint Eastwood and the big
mm-hmm.
bus and what it took to get him there
mm-hmm.
and all this other stuff. People just don't flip out like that, Michael, for nothing. People don't flip out like that, Michael. A well rewarded person in all the areas of his life until he bounced up against the LAPD department. He filed a complaint.
Mm-hmm.
He filed a complaint, and then they found him guilty of something because he's the one that filed a complaint.
Well,
that is one of the reasons why, Michael, in America today, there are a lot of people who know a lot of stuff, but they don't tell. Because the government does not protect them. The people do not protect them. So once they squeal and tell the truth of what's going on, then they become victimized as opposed to that they are reporting on.
Well, and I want to be a complete optimist. I am an optimist. I never believe the cup is half full. I never believe the cup is half empty. I always believe it's half full.
Yeah. And you mean by that?
And what I mean by that is I want to think the good and not conspiratorial. I want to think things may not be what they seem, and things aren't what they seem all the time. But sometimes they are what you see. But the thing is with this young man, Donna, is that I heard reports, and see, I've been so busy this year, I haven't had a chance to do the major research. We're going to do some more research, but maybe even help fill this in, that he was forced to retire from the Navy because of actions or the way he was conducting himself.
What I will say about that is, anytime a Michael Lawson or a Walter Rogers
mm-hmm.
has been accused of something
mm-hmm.
by the authorities, the first thing they want to do is
mm-hmm.
justify their actions.
Absolutely.
By what Michael may have done 50, 60, 75 years ago.
Yeah, I get it. So,
so you have to be, you have to be very cognizant of what you're dealing with and how it is going to come after you.
This is, and then the people start saying, wow, it's Ruby Ridge all over again. Well, You
well,
know, I want to know is how did fire start? How did that fire start?
Well, you define what is a pyroglyphic gas bomb. Huh?
The heck out of
I don't think burning the place. Well, first of all, if you were to ask me if I was going to bet my dog, I would bet my dog that they had neither the inclination or intent of bringing him out alive.
Now, you know, listen, the same story, although you can say it's conspiratorial, you can say what you want, what is this?
Well, and
if it looks like any giraffe.
Well, the interesting thing about this, Michael, is you look at it. See, people make all types of claims
mm-hmm.
to try to justify the end.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about? And all this stuff, any claim that they want to bring up, my question is, and certainly the fellow did wrong. He did some wrong. But then, Michael, when in your life you've done the best, to serve your community, then all at once you bounce up against something that you thought you had passed a long time ago. See what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen people before in your life, Mike, but they just decide, well, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm not going to take any more. I'll just die and be with my Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I refuse to knuckle under. I refuse to get on my knees and beg.
Well, you know, the thing is that sometimes, you get on your knees and beg and last another day to get around them.
A scared man die every day, but a brave man only dies once. So what you want to be?
Well, that's true too. But you know, the thing is that if the and I think it was on the Reverend Al show.
Mm.
The guy can hear. He said, "Look, you put out this manifesto. They're saying that it's ranting, but if you want your story to come out, you got to give up and talk about it." Well, now what you're saying is, if it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, it's a duck. They weren't going to give him a chance to walk out. Tell his
name. No. He committed suicide when he shot the first officer. Committed suicide.
Absolutely.
You know. That code of blue?
But was there a way around this? We don't know the story yet.
We'll probably never know the details because a lot of it will never be made public.
It should be. He should have taped something and put it in the hands of a lawyer to come out in the event of my demise.
Uh-huh.
This is the story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Make up. You know, and here's the thing. When I was in the running for the government, and since I was in charge, I did nothing but write down I have right now 10 folders of containing about 17 years worth of every single day and days I wasn't on duty that were holidays. I had it listed, holiday, no work. And I'll explain to you why. Because at one time, we had a problem. I was working for the Weather Service where there was a problem out at one of the I stepped on that. And a cable was. And they can't land planes without, well, they can, but they don't like to land planes without the wind system and working.
Right.
And what happened was that I went out there and they said that it was the Weather Service deal. It wasn't. I went out there and found out it was an engineering private firm that was out there working for the airport. They cut the cable. So I supervised the re-establishment of the cable, and it went out again. Come to find out, there was another, it never was. So they say, well, they claimed that I did it and I supervised it wrong or not. So the paperwork that I handed in, because you normally have a lot of paperwork, disputed. They couldn't prove it. So when I went to...
Dodge the story.
So when I went to the hearing, this was like 3 months later. I brought my books with me, my documentation that I wrote. And the chief who was looking at it says, well, every speech is filled in. So evidently he couldn't have backdated this.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, who were the people working out there? I said, hey, it's right there in the book. And he went to see them. And he says, you guys got to fix this. And it cost him about $10,000.
But if you had not documented,
it, I would
Michael,
be gone.
It would have been you.
Yeah, it been me.
Michael, in a lot of instances, life is kind of like that.
Absolutely.
And going back to this young man,
mm-hmm.
I just think he came to the point in his life where he said, I've had enough of this.
He's only 33 years old, though. Yeah, you know, getting that point so early in life is sad. Getting to that point so early in life is sad. So that's why I'm thinking.
But how? Well, one of the things that he said was, "I want my name cleared."
Right. Well, but you know,
who says I want my name cleared if they know in their mind and heart they've done something wrong?
About 60% of the people in jail.
but it makes for an interesting conversation.
Well, this is not over.
And
this is not over.
Well, now they're kind
because of, didn't the chief or the head inspector said that he is looking into it?
Would you like to have a complaint against me, Michael, and let me check into it myself? What you do is, you really want to check into it, is you turn it over to the U.S. attorney.
Well, that's...
You turn it over to the U.S. attorney.
Absolutely.
Of some other independent organization.
Absolutely.
That is insulated against the political manipulation of the police department.
Absolutely.
It's got to be that.
Yeah,
you know, that's
that.
Just like, you know, that's just like now in North Carolina when somebody dies and, you know, they'll send the FBI in and you might have the same FBI person that's working with this police department every day anyway.
Well, here's the man here.
Andrew Crossan. Andrew Crossan.
Andrew Joseph Crossan, yes, sir. Here at Shell Island Resort. North Carolina.
He is the chef. Next to the bartender, he's the most important man on this property.
He is the most important man,
because
I'd rather eat than drink.
Well, you see, I like to do both.
I don't know about the majority of people, but...
Yeah. and you see, man, I don't normally like to eat when I'm doing my show, but I understand you got some smoking shrimp here.
Yes, sir. With grits.
No grits.
We got that, too, if you like.
I don't. No grits. And I want to...
You ain't from here, are
you? No, I ain't from here, but I'm going to eat here.
You're going around here, aren't you?
Do you see the bacon blackened?
Yes, sir.
See? And matter of fact, guess what I'm going to have? I'd rather have some blackened shrimp on a salad.
Okay.
And you see, and that's what I'm going to have to do. This is someone to say.
He's going to come back a little bit later when he gets a chance, and you're going to interview him on live.
Absolutely. You've got to interview him.
And he's going to talk about the meat.
But I don't want to meet North yet until after I'm on.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm good with this.
Yeah, he's moving. But so that's the sheriff, and we're going to start taking a little bit of
Mr. Andrew Clausen.
Clausen. Okay.
C-R-O-S-S-O-N.
But let's go back. What is the, people don't understand, what is the Black Leadership Caucus?
The North Carolina Black Leadership Caucus, Michael, was formed about 38 years ago. And it came from little groups of people working themselves individually with the various counties in North Carolina. And they figured that in order for them to have a greater strength and greater ability, they needed to consolidate. And that is what they did. You know, and you had people like Senator Dan Blue and Congressman G.K. Butterfield wrote the bylaws for this organization. A well-known attorney and now member of the State House, Nikki Mischel, was the first chairman. And a lot of those guys, a lot of them will be here tomorrow. Connell Robinson, who preceded me as the chairman, will be here. As a matter of fact, he's on the program. Larry Hall, who preceded Connell, he's on the program. And they'll come. But the thing is, and what I enjoy and appreciate is the fact that over my 4 years, that everybody that I have asked have pretty much helped in whatever way to grow the organization. It has continued to grow, and we're just excited.
Mm-hmm.
We're excited. In the last 4 years, we've been able to affect a 501c3. We established our PAC. We helped some of the candidates in their office this year. We've helped to buy some electronics, a lot of things. But December, we helped with Christmas cheer in one of the counties. North Carolina. That was something that had never been done before. So we're always looking for an opportunity to help make people's lives better.
Now, what is the difference? You know, when I first sat down here, I became the chair of the president of the African American Caucus. I was going around, I went to almost every out of 100 counties, I believe I went to at least 50.
Okay.
And I grew up the caucus to about 25 or 30. And I kept, every time I turned around, there was the American caucus, the Black Asian caucus, and the ACP. I said, why are there so many Black organizations? Why so many Black organizations?
Mike, that is a great question. It really is. You mentioned the NAACP. You mentioned the NAACP, African American Caucus. And then you mentioned the Black Leadership. There is room and space for all.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, our goals and objectives cross.
Right.
Let's talk about the Black Leadership Caucus first.
Mm-hmm.
The North Carolina Black Leadership Caucus is an independent organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's not obligated to the state Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
It's not obligated to anybody except its board members, their goals and objectives, and the citizens of North Carolina that work with it and support it.
Mm-hmm.
And we are growing now to the extent that we have
the weather update. Okay.
Well, that's probably because there is some interesting news about the weather, but we'll talk about that tomorrow.
Okay.
but as I was saying, we are not controlled by anybody other than the citizens of North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
The African American Caucus is a subsidiary of the state Democratic Party.
Right.
Which means that if there are issues or concerns, and I've seen it happen, where you're told by the state executive committee or the chairman or the state director that, hey, look, we don't want you to do this. You can't do that or the other. You got a problem.
Well, the problem, yeah, but they should not, since they are, they're not written in, the bylaws are written where they are supposed to be independent. And what they tried to do, they were independent when I was president, but what they tried, they didn't like that. And they that's why I am no longer president, because they want to do exactly
but
what you said.
But Michael.
So they elect the people that they want.
How can you be a subsidiary under the thumb of the state party and call yourself independent?
Because you're not supposed to be.
Well, you got what it's supposed to be, and then you got what it is.
Well, yeah, but it only is if the people who are in charge let it be.
Well.
And that's what they wanted. They didn't want to be independent.
The Democratic Party of the state of North Carolina
runs
that. Has the ability to control the African American caucus.
Absolutely.
Because it is part of the state Democratic Party. Now, the NAACP, one of the hardest fighting under Reverend Barber in North Carolina, one of the hardest fighting organizations when it comes to social, economic, and civil rights, is a non-partisan organization. Now, what that means is it cannot publicly endorse candidates, raise money for candidates, that type stuff. And that is the biggest difference is that the NAACP is a non-partisan organization. It's not support candidate in any shape, form, or fashion, or is not supposed to. But other than that, like I said initially, our goals and objectives at times touch.
But the thing is that we need to make sure that when these organizations get together, that they are looking for the same objective. And
well,
no longer can do that with the African American Caucus.
I think what you're going to find, maybe, is that at some point and at some time, that these organizations will form some type of groups and have some meetings where they can come together. As a matter of fact, we've had a couple of people who have said to the state NAACP president, Reverend Barber, we need to do a better job of maybe working with some of these other organizations, and because there are things that some of these other organizations can do under their umbrella that we cannot. And it's probably the same thing that's been said to the African American Caucus. We got things that they can do that we cannot, and there might be some ways in which we can help them. And it's needed. If we do not get at a time like now, or the thing what it has done over the last 5 or 6 years is being dismantled. It's being dismantled. And even when it comes down from a federal level, the state government rejects. And I think about the health care where they're going to pay 100% of it for 2 or 3 years and then 90% of it thereafter.
Right.
And then, you get these Republican governors across the country and in North Carolina.
Okay, did they reconnect me? No, he didn't yet. Oh, yes, he did. Okay. All right. We should be back up. I don't know if we were off or not, but it said on my board we were off.
Where did we go so, off? And what
right,
did we
there, right there, right there, we were talking about. I understand now the president wants, he's going to give them tax breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, we give them tax breaks to move their property overseas.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Once we cut that off, all you do is cut off the tax break for moving property overseas, and they will move overseas.
Michael, I have said all the time, if Joe Blow wants to move this corporation overseas,
fine.
No tax credit.
No tax credit.
Joe Blow wants to send his stuff back to this country, a tax that compensates this country for the fact that it was not
made
here in this country.
Well, see, now, here's the
and if
thing.
You do that, then it makes it not a profit for them to go somewhere else because they go to China and, you know, they use slave labor and all these other little third world countries.
Well, the thing is, they keep saying, well, then they just won't make the stuff, they won't bring the stuff over here, they'll sell it to the rest of the world. The rest of the world don't pay the same price we pay for it.
Well, let them sell it to the rest of the world.
Right.
We'll do without it until we can make arrangements to make our own.
Well, as a matter of fact, it's called the Production Tax Credit. Is a federal tax incentive for producers of renewable energy. This is just on the renewable energy tax. And so one problem with this is it's non-fundable, which means that it can't reduce the tax liability of clean energy companies below zero. In other words, companies can only take advantage of it if they're already profitable with a substantial tax liability. Smaller startup companies, many of which are not yet profitable, get nothing from making nothing. Making the credit refundable is equivalent to making it a cash grant, which means any company, even the small, scrappy ones, can benefit from it. Much less money goes to tax lawyers and tax equity investors, which means more goes to innovation and deployment. So that means that people who are here, people that are in this country are going to get the benefit of this. If your company is here, you will get a benefit. You're going to have a major tax credit.
Yeah, but now, Michael, let me tell you something new. Your governor here in North Carolina.
My governor? Oh. What's his name
from your community.
Oh, yeah, he's from
Mecklenburg County. Aren't you from Mecklenburg County?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Well, then you know who I'm talking about.
Has
said that he wants to do away with these people on these major boards and committees so that he could put people there to think like him.
Of course.
Now, why didn't Barack Obama think of that? What President Obama has done is he brought along some people who don't think like him and don't think like most Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
And what has happened is while he's out there wanting to do one thing and trying to have this department to do it, the person in charge of this department is opposed to it, which makes it twice as difficult. You know, and, you know, our president's got 4 more years.
But
when it comes to picking and choosing an department head, he needs to take a second look.
Well, that's always the case. I don't know. I don't know any department head that I think hasn't done a good job for him, except that we have, you know, the main thing I'm concerned with is ATF. You know, the ATF director.
You
have one in 6 years.
Probably. Well, it's not like a budget. You haven't had a budget. But see, what what I found about politics is John Boehner complained about you having had a budget, but he won't say nothing about everything he's done to try to prevent you from getting the budget.
Oh, yeah, well, of course, because you ready to have the budget, it's got to come out of committee, and since they control the committee, so it ain't coming out of committee.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Michael, Mr. Charles Warren, very prominent gentleman from over in Brunswick County.
Brunswick County?
Is here.
Yes, he is.
And it is so good to see you. And I think I'll just let him tell you a little bit about who he is, what he does, and the fine things that's happening in Brunswick County.
I think so, too. And you can give him the... Hey, well, no, he don't need that, sir, because I can put the microphone right here.
Let me find.
Mm-hmm.
We just recently formed that chapter about... 6 or 7 months ago,
mm-hmm.
and so far we are doing mm-hmm. some really progressive things in Brunswick County.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it is a nonpartisan organization,
mm-hmm.
so you know that means that we do not get involved in politics, but we do have a PAC on
mm-hmm.
the side that we can handle as far as politics are concerned.
Mm-hmm.
We have basically recruited a lot of members. We have, right now, I think we have about, I'd say, close to 75 members.
We need to see that many. We need to see.
Yeah, so in 6 months, and it is growing every day.
Mm-hmm.
I've been making the rounds to the churches and basically just introducing the organization to all the local churches.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very pleased with the response that I've been receiving from all the churches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we are. You know, I'm just elated that we was able to get this organization in Brunswick County.
Now, how big is Brunswick County population?
Brunswick County has 107,000.
And growing like wildfire.
And is it a red or is it a blue county?
It's a red county.
It's a red county.
Red county.
Very red county?
Very red.
Now you're getting real purple, just red,
well,
red, red.
Each time.
There's always room for prosperity.
Yeah, right. There's always room. Always room.
Always room for prosperity.
Always room.
And where is that located? Brunswick, north, the south, east, or west of
the... That's south.
Okay.
It runs from New Hanover County, which is this county, to the Myrtle Beach.
Southeast County, right
mm-hmm.
in the corner of North Carolina and South Carolina.
Right.
How long have you lived in your whole life?
No, sir. I moved here in 1999.
Okay.
From New Haven, Connecticut.
Because you certainly don't have any North Carolinian accent.
But I was born in North Carolina, in Sampson County.
Ah.
And I left here at an early age when I was north here to better my life, because during that time they want to pick cotton across the back of the
right.
So I went up and I got involved in law enforcement, so I ran with that for 20 some odd years.
Well, you were in law enforcement for 20 some years. Gosh, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I got a question for you. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, you know, law enforcement is law enforcement, you know.
What did you do with law enforcement?
Well, I basically, once I made it up to lieutenant.
Mm-hmm.
I was a lieutenant.
So you were a policeman?
And then where we were at the time, we called it special constable.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a police force,
mm-hmm.
the man itself.
And you were in a small town?
New Haven.
Oh, okay, yeah, of course. I had uncles up there that lived up there. Used to be the lawyer from New York.
Well, now, Michael, let me tell you that Brad and Charles are related, but we're not going to hold that against
you. Yeah, we won't hold that against you. And your wife's name is?
Lawrence.
Don't say celebrate.
Hi.
Lawrence won.
Well, you know, before we got here, we were talking about the problem with what happened with the policeman in California, Dunn. And I'm the person to believe that the cup is half full, not half empty. And, conspiracy theories are just not really my cup of tea, nice to hear. But
it depends on who it is.
Walter leans toward the other way a little bit.
Okay.
Okay.
But the fact is that they let that place burn down to the ground to try to get rid of whatever was in there. How does New York? What is your feeling about this?
Well,
while you're thinking about it, I want to say that the law is the law.
The law is the law.
And
right.
If long as people themselves that are responsible for enforcing the law do it in a fair and equitable manner, that's fine. It's when you have some question about whether or not it's done in a fair and equitable manner that, you know, it things begin to turn a little gray. And, you know, and given the history of Rodney King and all these other people and the complaints about police brutality and all that stuff, and my understanding that maybe his problem with the police department was his complaint about brutality, and instead of them doing something about that, all of them turned on him as that blue coat again. And so...
To me, for someone to go on the deep end like he did, there had to be a little bit more involved with his psyche, and I just can't believe it was just something as simple as
that. He was deceived by the basic ground that he believed in. And when you find that your fundamental grounds in all of those years he was in the military and all of that other stuff, he finds that it's all been away.
Before you start, in other words, that if what's going to happen when you find out that there's 3,000 other planets out there with people on it, what are all these people going to say down here with preaching every day? We're the only, God only made us. They're going to do the same thing?
Well,
are they going to go up the deep end, jump in the ocean out there?
They just, when they say God only made us, they never tell you it's an opinion rather than a fact.
Yep. Well, that,
okay,
so. Okay, good. So,
well, I really, about that situation, I think that it was, he had felt betrayed by his partner. Okay?
Yeah.
Because you just don't hold something like that. Now, he was terminated in, like, 2008. For 4 years.
Right, 4 years.
You know that. But instead of its releasing, you know,
it built.
It built. But they should have probably tried to, before they had terminated him, they should have tried to get him into a form of counseling, right, so that he would kind of work out some of those problems that he had.
Is that a normal thing that they would do? With someone with an orchestra?
That's what they should do, Michael.
Well, yeah, but
you know,
yeah, that's
let
not
me,
normal.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an example. In my community, there was a young man that was working undercover. And in his working undercover and socializing, he got strung out on drugs. Instead of them trying to send him to detox and working with him to get his life back, they fired him.
So part of his job was to be involved with the drug
if you're undercover, a lot of times you got to do what people in your environment
right,
are doing.
Right.
And so they terminated. Well, somewhere along the line, the little fella, I think, told him, look, you all can terminate me if you want to. But if you terminate me, I'm going to tell. How about this young man winds up being found dead with a pistol and the claim that he may have committed suicide? You know.
Yeah. Right.
He may have.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't there, but given the circumstances and all the other stuff, things that make you go,
Well, you know, and realistically, you're right about this, because we probably can come up with a half a dozen or more, maybe 100 more different things, but it is so much of a
final chapter, when you commit suicide, there's no way back. And it, but once he went over that line as a policeman, killing another policeman, that is a line he knew he could never cross without coming back.
By that point, he had already decided,
yeah,
I'm going out with this. I'm going out with this. I've tried the system. The system caved on me. So,
well, but you see now,
I'm going home to my Jesus,
right,
and be free.
The other thing is that, you know, the reports coming out about his why he was let go from the service, or he told him to resign because he had he kept things and he wouldn't. He had a problem about releasing his emotions, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and this, it's a they knew he had problems for a long time.
But then, Charles,
why
what I said about that is any time that the system turns against you, they're going to go out and try to feed negative stuff to society so as to turn public opinion against you, too.
Right.
Because if they don't get public opinion, and whatever happens, if you can't convince the public that what the police department has done is right, they got a problem.
Well, see, the problem is, though, they're giving the police department a lot of credit, more credit to you. They're not that smart. Because if they were that smart, a lot of things would go in California would
that
happen.
That building probably wouldn't have burned down either.
Well, I think that the building was, I think it was burned down. Probably.
It could have been.
No, I think it could have been an accident. I think it could have came from the tear gas.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to realize that when they chased him, he got out of that vehicle and he started firing.
Mm-hmm.
He hit two officers, one killed
down. Yeah.
And when he ran in that building, after he was still firing, because you could hear the gunshot.
Right. You said, oh,
now, this guy is basically, he is ready to go.
Yeah.
All right? You know, he could have killed the man at the truck when he took the
two
men.
If he
was
that, if he had that, his blood was not with the general public.
No, it wasn't.
His blood was with
right.
the police
mm-hmm.
department.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, though, I still say, if you go back to the service, you know, and when he was at, where were you at?
I'm like an officer. Yeah, he was a captain. Well, a lieutenant of Navy.
Yeah. So basically, they should have, at that time, somewhere along the line, somebody should have picked up that he had some problems.
Right.
Because they probably.
Because if he had problems and it was cited, he wouldn't have been hired by the police.
Right. Well,
you
right.
see?
Yeah,
so,
well.
So the thing is that. What I believe it was, the problem he had in the Navy, they asked him to resign with honorable discharge, and he could get a job anyplace else,
right.
instead of writing him up or, you know, having him have psychiatric care. So I think the whole problem staying back in the Navy, because what they're saying in the Navy, that he had these problems with letting things go if he didn't think something went right. He would hold that grudge for a long time. So this could be something building up for years and years and years.
Absolutely.
You know, I understand what you're saying. I agree with you, but the police department ain't that smart. They're not that smart.
But they don't know that.
Well, of course they don't know that. That's why I keep doing the same dumb thing over and over again.
But I think, though, that if they would have, I think that if his supervisors would have picked up.
Yeah.
You know, at that point when they realized that he was holding, they could have ordered him into counseling.
Oh, that's right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and normally that's the way they do up a
yeah.
cop.
No, you're right.
And you know, it was cop. I know. I used to go, and this cop had shot a guy, killed this guy,
mm-hmm.
and if he was difficult for him to shake it, he would start dealing with drugs and things of this nature. So his department ordered him into NA and AA in the counseling.
Mm-hmm.
Right, and so after a while, he was able to work through all that. They didn't fire, you know, and I don't think that they should fire.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that they should have a process,
mm-hmm.
because once you go into law enforcement, man, you go in there and it's just like going into the circus.
Right,
mm-hmm. you know what I mean? You're like, okay, Every day you walk out your house, you don't know whether you're going to come back or not.
That's true.
So when you walk out, you know, you have to take this image on that, you know, I'm almost bigger than life.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And I'm not going to go down. You know, you can't back down, but all your training is teaching you to do it the same as it did in chain service.
Right.
You know, when you pull that weapon, you shoot to kill.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the same thing.
It's just like on clothes, you shoot the gun out of the guy's hand. Shoot the wound in the foot so he don't run.
No.
I mean, you're supposed to shoot mass, that's it. I mean, you know, it's not a
way. Dead witnesses don't testify. Dead witnesses don't testify.
Well, I want to go back to a couple of these things that the president said about the minimum wage. What is the minimum? Before you had something like that?
Yeah, I just want to make sure that this is off the subject about the organization. This is we are.
No, we're going to talk about the organization.
Okay. All right.
But what is the minimum wage in North Carolina?
$7.25.
Federal minimum. $7.25, right?
$7.25.
Yeah. Okay. Now, I have part of my crack research team, and that's $14,500.
You can make the minimum wage and still qualify for federal program.
Well, yeah, but you know the poverty level wages in this country?
$15,130.
So that means if you're getting the minimum wage and you're working 40 hours and you're making $14,000, how do you survive? What rent can you pay if you're making $14,500? How much rent can you pay? How much electricity? How much phone bill?
Mm-hmm.
And if you live out here, how do you get to work?
Well, maybe I can inject something right here before we go any further, because we were on here going at it when Charles and his madam walked in.
Mm-hmm.
So we might need to tell him what Blog Talk Radio is and why we're here talking about everything and what we're seeing going all across the world.
Well, we can say,
you know,
it's an internet broadcast and it's heard all around the world. So everybody heard your quiet voice.
Okay.
And and we talk about politics, we talk about everything, sports, music, everything. Since I'm in the political world, mainly we talk about politics and how it affects us in everyday life.
Right. Right.
So, and one of the things I was bringing up about what Ted Kennedy said. When does the greed stop? We always hear, and Dana, and let's see, if I have this here about, which I probably don't have it, but John Dana said the other day, he said that we don't need the minimum wage, because the minimum wage will only... it's stifled, and when you increase the minimum wage, this will stifle people from getting jobs. Nobody will hire.
I have two questions.
Yeah.
When he said it, was he sober or drunk?
Well, you can't tell him.
Oh, okay.
You can't tell
him.
My
next
sober.
Question is his economic standing in society, is it one that he personally grew or did he step into it?
Did he step into it?
Somebody else did the work and he just inherited it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's true. Now, his father was a bartender. He owned a bar.
Well, you might tell by his lifestyle that could be true.
Well, that is
true. But having said that, you know, it makes a difference in this society if you have had to scratch for everything you have, Michael, and in a lot of our African American community, that's where it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not that people are lazy. You're talking about people who are descendants of slaves, who've had to scuffle and scrap all their life.
Mm-hmm.
See, we never did get our 18 acres and a mule, nor the money. See? And there are a lot of other races that did get there, but the African-American is not one of them.
Yep.
And we don't have rich uncles. We don't have rich aunts. We are just a poor people. And it is by a design, but not mm-hmm. our design.
Right.
You've gone from a slave to where you are. So even though you have made some progress, you are not where you could be if you were just being treated fair by today's society.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
You know, you get up every morning, Michael, and you got to prove yourself every day. You're going, you're working at Little John's Pizzeria, whatever. It just so happens you're the manager. You got to prove yourself to the corporation every day. Everybody else might have to prove themselves once a year or one time, and they're gone.
Well, you see, but
right of passage, Michael.
Well, of course, but you see, but here's the thing. What I'm talking about is a fair wage isn't black and white.
No.
We have...
It is an economic situation.
Absolutely.
And need.
And I was getting into this before we brought this handsome couple of weeks to the table about what justifies. Where the main series really doesn't figure on, like the other series where they deal with crime in the city, where there's millionaires and try to cheat people and kill people. This deals with the people. This show deals with these people who are poverty and below. And they're making money the best way they can by doing drugs, by doing moonshine, by stealing cars, working in the bar, working in the restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, and there was one thing where if I would pull up here and you can listen.
While you're looking there, I'll just tell you
yes,
that not even the president talk about poor people. Poor people.
Right.
The lowest ego is middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Middle class. Have you ever heard him talking about the rich? Now, Rem Barber, in state NAACP president,
mm-hmm.
and he said many times, nobody talks about those people. How many they are, how destitute they are, what you're going to have
why?
To do. Huh?
Why don't they?
They don't.
You know why?
I know they're crazy because they're the backbone of these political organizations.
The poor, the working poor, on average, do not vote.
That's the issue.
Do not vote. And if you don't vote in this country, you will not get a hearing.
A lot of them are the backbone of
the poor. Yeah, the backbone, but they still don't vote. They say they're the backbone, but they don't vote. We are in this strait right now in North Carolina because those poor people did not come out and vote.
That's not what it was,
Michael. Oh, yes.
It was those people who did not like the fact that you had a black president.
No. 2010, when we lost the House, had nothing to do with the president. The president was already in. It was those people who did not come out and vote. And you checked the voting, how it went, it was below 15%.
Michael, they had two things on their mind. The first one was that they thought that because they had elected a black president,
they were chicken and everybody. Right.
Then the second, there were those who were frustrated with the new president and the progress that he had made as of 2006. So those were two very important factors, and a lot of them were
But you see, they would have any excuse. They would say that about anybody. The problem is when you don't vote, you advocate every single thing that you want.
Mm-hmm. You mean, no, if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu.
That's right. If you ain't at the table, you're part of the game that's in the plate.
Yeah.
And if you don't vote, I don't care who is out there, who's in that office, either vote for or against that person. Have your ability count. People in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and in Iran, everywhere, they show their purple fingers with bombs coming down over their heads, getting rock grenades coming at them, and they let out that 102-year-old woman stood online for 8 hours in Florida.
No.
So there is no excuse. No excuse.
What happened is whoever that person was, attorney general, whatever, offended the people.
It wasn't just them. Every one of these 19 main regressive party states that tried to push through the bill on not giving people the right to vote and voter ID and cutting time. What they did, they made Barack Obama the next president of the United States, because people who would never have come out and voted went out and voted and stayed in. You know, they lost 200,000 plus people in Florida who left the lines. Can you imagine what it would have been, the landslide in Florida, if those people would have stayed in line? I mean, it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
So it was interesting that the president had won the polling Florida's votes for a candidate.
Yeah, absolutely.
But about North Carolina, and we're dealing with the minimum wages.
Well, that's
what unemployment.
Right, absolutely.
Right, they cut unemployment now from 550 to 350.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, see, the unemployment is on the state level. The federal government only, do they contribute anything to unemployment?
The federal government does contribute something, but they reduce what the state has.
Yeah.
All right, down. And the feds. But I don't know how.
No, the feds didn't send it back.
I thought they cut it. The deal is they cut it. The money to the state of North Carolina because they had run out of money.
Right.
And they owed them about $2 billion.
Right.
I think that it's actually paid by the state, but when they ran out of money, the federal government loaned it to them.
Well, the federal government also, if you look at the television, a lot of times, and you listen to the media, they talk about Congress passing unemployment, right? And now that's where the funds are coming from.
Mm-hmm.
But the state has a right, I think, to reduce it. But let me tell you, but it's 330, man, a week, every 2 weeks.
Yeah,
that's long. Now look at Medicaid. They, you know, for the health insurance, you know, Obamacare, they call it, for the right. They, you know, they don't want Medicaid.
Well,
they don't want it to insure the 500,000 people that's uninsured in North Carolina.
Well, the reason behind that is because this progressive party got into such a hole of rejecting anything that Barack Obama wanted. They cannot now say they want this if they know they want it. That's why 19 of these red states have said, no, we want it.
Right.
See, the problem is that it's not the insurance companies that are telling me, before it was the insurance companies saying, oh, I want this, the insurance companies like Obamacare. Even though they're going to have to contribute more money, getting more people.
Absolutely.
So they're making more money. But it's the progressive party elected representatives who cannot come back and now tell their people, and then we tell you it was a lie, you need to go on. They can't.
But
and get back on again.
If they're going to come 2014,
they're going to forget it.
It's going to be a different year.
That's
so
right.
The people, when you start hurting the people, and they're trying to push the voter ID.
Absolutely.
They've been talking about voter ID. And in because he's going to pass. If they get it, he's going to sign it. So, you know, it's just.
Whether or not, now the president said that he wants to have a commission,
right,
to study,
regulate.
Well, he said we're regulate.
Well, what
the commission
needs
is going to come up with ideas first.
You ought to have a federal agency dealing exclusively with elections and the election process.
Okay, but you can only do this on the federal election.
State authority away from it.
Oh, you can't do that, though. Because the states have their own natural authority. Now, they can regulate when federal elections are done.
What was the Civil Rights Act of 64?
Federal. It had nothing to do with stating when and how you can vote. It just said you can vote. It's a major difference.
Well, sometimes you have to detail things.
Well, yes, but see, hey, that's why you try to add laws in later. I mean, the Social Security Act wasn't about
you. You build on it. That's what you do. You build on it.
Well, yeah, you build on it, but you can't build on it if you got people in place in the House which passes the law that is not going to let you build on it. So you have to control, you have to give back this Congress. You have to take, we were 31 seats short, you need to take back this Congress, and then that can change. The problem is that people don't understand how government works. They, you know, they took it up in school, they either were sleeping or weren't listening. You need to have a Congress that is close to halfway like the other one, like the other side. So you, because there are always these people that will filter across the line back and forth in order to run. But when you're 31 votes behind, and these regressive party members see their party slipping away every year into oblivion because they're no longer the majority party. They're no longer the majority white party in charge. And in 2025, they won't ever have a national election that they'll win.
Right.
They won't win. As a matter of fact, 2025, Texas will be blue.
Right. Well, you have to understand also, you know, with the line. I mean, when the Republican Party came up and redrew the district.
Right.
I mean, they redrew them all in favor. I'm very disappointed that the Justice Department.
Well, no, they still have the complaint because the NAACP has a complaint. It hasn't been heard yet. This just happened with before about, I think it was before I came here.
Well,
where they,
North Carolina.
And this has now still not been finalized because it could revert back to the old lines again. Because this happened once before in North Carolina about 10, 12, 13 years ago, stuff like that, where the lines, where they changed the lines and then they had to revert back because they were deemed illegal. So this is not finalized yet. Whether or not the 8th district that I was in, I was the first vice chair of the 8th district, and I'm now
Democratic Party.
Right. And but what I didn't say is that North Carolina, this is the first time in about 125 years that it's gone Republican. So the problem is, just like Walter said before, when Barack Obama got elected, everybody, these people thought there was going to be a chicken in every pot. And there was no way you could change with the House, the federal House, in control of the part of the House. You could not change it all. And the immediacy, which I and a lot of people were against Obama, were screaming about, we shouldn't do this, we should do this, we should do this. Well, you know, to do that, you should run. I mean, this man ran, he said, look, I'm going to fix this health care plan. I'm going to tell you that this is going to be the major thing in 10 years. Here we are paying for medicine. That every other country in the world gets at one-third the price, or one-fourth the price. I take this medication called Dexlin. It's like a Xanax, but it's like that. And for 30 tablets, it's $173. Okay? So I said, well, damn, that's incredible. So I went to my insurance company. The insurance company said, oh, yeah, that's what it would be. That's what it would cost. So I went through my insurance company. I said, well, I'm not paying that. So I went to Medco. You know, maybe the mail order?
Right, right.
You know what I get it for? I get a 90-day supply for $70.
Wow.
So is there something wrong with this picture here? I mean, what are you kidding me? How can Medco give it to me three times the amount? No, more, but three times as much.
Three times as much,
So the thing is, we're just getting screwed because we're paying for every single RNG that every other country isn't paying for. And because part of the D that was unpaid for, about $700 billion worth, that Bush put through, had no negotiation for prescription drugs. We need, every country in the world has negotiation for drugs. Every country.
Remember that the president under Bush would not let them agree to compete.
That's right.
On the prices of the medication.
That's right.
Is that right?
That's right.
And because, you know, just...
But Medicare does. Medicare does. The VA does. The government does.
The VA did.
Medicare does. Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah.
But not as much. But you see, the thing is that... what are we looking at here? When we say we're not getting screwed?
You're looking at greed.
That's what Ted Kennedy say. When does the greed stop?
I tell you something else. These greedy corporations in this country is going to be the end of this country as we know it. Because they would allow this country to go under in order to sustain their greed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And even,
and then try to put it on something else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, Ted Kennedy said that the battle that it used to be 5-15 hours, then he went up to 7-25 an hour. And Ted Kennedy said, in a full-throated assault on the congressional Republicans, when did the degree stop? Kennedy's speech is a reminder that the battle to raise the minimum wage is an extremely difficult moral struggle, one that weighs against the very powerful opponents. He said, I checked in with the representative George Miller, California, who was at the center of the last fight, and he admitted that the battle ahead was literally to be a very tough one. It's a real slog to get it done. The problem is that we have the prescription drug cabal out there that gives out money like Carter gives out Liverpool. And here we are. How do you change that mentality? It needs to be changed. And I had an argument with our former 8th District Congressional Representative Larry Kissel. And I asked, oh, yeah, I did. And I told Larry in front of an audience, I said, because he kept using terminology as the president, you're stealing $716 billion out of Medicare to get to Obamacare. And I said, Larry, why are you saying this in front of, now, I'm part of the board of the 8th District, but I asked, I said, explain to people here how the president is taking $716 billion out. He couldn't explain it. I said, because he's not doing it. I said, that $716 billion he's taken is from the board of directors of the insurance companies. So all the people do, and none of it is affecting service. None of this is affecting how the people are served. And it shouldn't be there in the first place. I said, that $716 billion needs to be taken out. The 15T needs to be closed, and it needs to be put into A and B.
Let me tell you something. The year, the last year, the former North Carolina State Auditor Ralph Kammer ran for office.
Mm-hmm.
The federal government requested that he do an audit of the Medicare program in North Carolina.
State Medicare program.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mike Easton, who was the governor at that time, had just appointed some state senator's wife over the program. But then Ralph Campbell's audit showed that the state of North Carolina had overpaid in Medicare and Medicaid something like $443 million. And they were trying to compromise with the federal government for $18
million.
And once the audit came back,
mm-hmm.
and it showed how much the state of North Carolina had screwed the federal government, Mike Easton went out on a pursuit of an effort to find somebody to run against Ralph Campbell.
Mm.
Because Ralph Campbell, as the state auditor, refused to perjure himself.
Mm.
The state of North Carolina and a bunch of other states, until they can come up with a better process of checks and balances, it's going to always have these corporations, be them doctors, hospitals, dentists, or whatever, that are going to try to share the program. And
you mean it's just not people on food stamps that are trying to share the program?
Not just people on food stamps. It's the white-collar criminals.
It's the white-collar criminals.
It's the white-collar criminals.
With their hands in a lot more money.
Yes, yes. And even now, your current governor of North Carolina.
Who's that?
Has had some.
Who's
I don't know who that fellow is. I know they elected him governor. But, he's now talking about, but, it's unfortunate that as you change from one party to the other, as far as power is concerned, there's always an air of non-trust. There was a time when there was such a comradeship between the Democrats and the Republicans, and they were willing to do pretty much what is right, but with the new Republican, what do you call them?
Regressive party.
Yeah, well, it's a regressive party, but it's something other else they call them.
The Unicon,
the Tea Party.
Well, that's
the
kind of party.
They have taken over the Republican Party.
Well, now see, here's the thing: it's the Republican Party who let them take over because they are a minute number of people, but they are very much. But they are the frame. They are the vocal. It's like the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Yeah.
And you see, the problem is. Yeah, it's the old story about being in bed with the tiger.
Mm-hmm.
The tiger, as long as the tiger's stomach is full. You'll see that commercial with the people talking about safety. They talk about, I think it was ABC or one of them, where they say, since we got our panther, we feel very, very safe. And there's a big black panther sitting on a mantelpiece looking down at him like that, licking his chops.
Uh-huh.
And they said, we don't need to sleep anymore because we have protection. Mm-hmm. So they don't need to sleep because they know as soon as they see their eyes closed, they'll eat dinner.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what it is. They let the Tea Party get into the Republican Party and be the front people for them. But they let them be the front people for it because they would scream and rant and rave and everything else, and they would get more people involved, getting all the people stirred up. But the problem is, they now have no control of them. They lost control.
Now, if this was private radio, we'd have to take time and say who we are and where we are and everything.
Yeah,
radio, we don't have to tell them.
We're
at Shell Island, North Carolina, and Riceville Beach, North Carolina.
Then
we're here at the North Carolina Black Leadership Caucus annual weekend in that hour table. Oh, you tell them, Mr. Announcer.
We have Mr. The president of the North Carolina Black Leadership Caucus, Walter Rogers. And we have
Mr.
Dalworth from Brunswick, who is the president of the Brunswick County chapter of the Black Leadership Office, and we have his lovely wife, who's trying to be silent like she's not here. And your name is?
Dolores.
And before Mr. Rogers was talking about
tea parties.
Yeah, and the local effect of our new governor. I was saying that the Tea Party is a minority. They're not the Republican Party. They are a small minority. And if these Republicans want to step up and take over and kick them out, they could do it.
Well, they need
to do it as a group.
But right now, the Tea Party is wagging the Republican Party.
Right, but you see, they're going to be in the hole. And when you have people like, they had Murdoch and you had Akins and you had all these dumb people saying these stupid things, off the wall things, there is no way on this planet that a majority of people, even Republicans, are going to get along with. And they are going to be, and see, the problem is with me. We will not have a good, strong, solid Democratic Party unless we have a good, strong Republican Party.
Now, if there's anybody out there that disagrees with what we're saying, do you invite them to call in?
But you see, the thing is, when I am on here and I have guests, my guests know a lot more than the callers here. That's why I have them as guests. Than the callers do. And I want to see, this show is not about the host.
I'm so glad Charles and his wife is here.
That's right. Because I like to give the people who are the guests, have them give their information. But this is information that most of the people around do not know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's rare that you go to or listen to a radio show where the main thing is the host giving their explanation on everything. We don't want to have that. But if you want to call in, it's 646-716-5242. But I warn you, you better be calling with a proper question, or you're off. Anyway, back to Brunswick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brunswick County,
North Carolina.
The minimum wage right now is $7.25. That means if you work 40 hours, you get about $14,500. The poverty level is $15,134. You cannot live.
Okay.
Especially, with a child. That's $14,500 with a child.
Yeah.
So now, how do you live when you have these aggressive party members out there saying, well, we don't need a minimum wage because people just will make it on that. How, in Brunswick, just not like New York City. They're not making, everybody's making, walking around like Walter with,
Brunswick County is a unique county. Brunswick County, we have people moved in from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Vermont, from all over. And they're moving to the coast because we have water.
Right. North Carolina. Yeah.
And they are trying to, Brunswick County government is trying to basically, they want to portray that everything in Brunswick County, everybody is living in Brunswick County, is on the same scale as
everything pumping up.
And they're living in the gated communities and all this. But everything is not. And I was a commissioner there for 4 years, Brunswick County Commissioner.
Yes, sir.
And I really fought diligently to try to get water. You know, I mean, just to get water to people on the low-income people that lives in the trailers, that lives in their own
community.
Yeah, low-income community, because a lot of their waters were contaminated. They couldn't drink it. They had to
borrow water.
Yeah. They couldn't afford to buy a bottle of water, right? They try to wash their clothes. They come out all brown.
Mm-hmm.
And then even when people were drinking water sometimes, they wind up taking baths. They get fungus all over their body.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very, very disgraceful
account
as far as helping the low-income people. And I stepped up, and I really, and this is not an I, but the NAACP and myself have really been working hard. The chairman of the NAACP, president, is Bernice Hewitt.
Mm-hmm.
And him and I have been working close together to try to bring about some of the needed changes as far as the, you know, because if they can afford to buy water, and they're trying to boil this and whatever they're doing, you know, it caused the sickness, a lot of sickness.
Well, that's
closing the gap between the haves and the have-nots.
Well, you see, the thing is that I want to play this little slack, this little thing. This is from Justified, and they're telling you how people and the rest of the party wants to betray that. Oh. It's only black people on the dollar.
No.
It's their Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid is a necessity for some people to survive. They would not survive without it. And the part I'm going to play you can guess by it is where the marshals are looking for this guy. And they come to the house, and the guy comes out with a gun. He said, "All right, get off my property." He said, "Don't you U.S. Marshal?" Sheriff's badge, but I don't believe you. He said, "Yes, you were U.S. Marshal, and you got to put your gun away." He said, "Well, I haven't shot any marshals lately." So he said, "Well, if you don't put your gun away, we're going to shoot you right in front of all your kids." So then the mother comes out and said, "What's going on?" "Oh, well, U.S. Marshal, they're looking for, you know, your husband." And he said, "If you don't, we're going to stop the checks coming." "No, don't you stop them checks coming." Now, this is a big thing. But that, I want to play this, and then we can talk about it on the other side.
How long is
it? I'm staying here for you, Judd.
You got 10 seconds.
This doesn't have to go wrong, son.
Well, that's on you. 5 seconds.
Hey, you bet. Any of you so much as flinch, we're gonna put you down. You're gonna die right in front of your kin. Is that what you want?
Don't matter to me. Y'all all right with it?
Yep. Never thought I'd live this long.
What's going on out here? These perverts chasing me.
Don't look like perverts. Well, maybe that one.
Says they're federal.
We're U.S. Marshals, ma'am.
Marshals, that's fancy. You best go on ahead and state your business.
Just looking for Waldo Truth.
My husband? He ain't here. If you want to leave a means to get in touch when he stumbles home, I'll holler.
Well, just so you understand, till we meet Waldo, we're going to put a stop to those disability checks.
Hell, you are?
Oh,
y'all ain't
going to
take our drop. Lower those goddamn guns. You want to start shooting my grandbabies right here?
The thing was that they don't want to stop Social Security checks and whatnot, but that's all they had.
Right.
Welfare and food stamps.
That's all they had. And these are white. You know, black?
Oh, yeah.
This is Houston, Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, it's the same thing in Brunswick County. I mean, it's not black or black. These are white, white.
Yeah.
Or Mexican, or Hispanic,
mm-hmm.
or Asian.
Well, but see, what they want to betray is, it's going to be them that is causing us all this problem, because they have been brainwashed so long by the rice limos and the Hannitys and the O'Reillys and the aggressive party, and the Tea Party is so bad. And when the Tea Party first started, their problem was that they were not like this. They morphed into what they are right now, because they were really not that bad. And what they were saying that, you know, we're not getting enough out there. But they're morphed into, we're not getting enough because they're getting too much.
Yeah, yeah. And in a lot of instances, I'd rather lose mine than for you to get the same that I'm getting.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, well, that's the thing.
It's the same thing in the political process today. I see you right back to him.
Cutting the nose up just like my face.
Yeah.
And so the thing is that there has to be a tipping point where we're no longer going to think this way. And the tipping point with them was, oh, we're going to cut off your check.
Right.
Unless you get here. Mm-hmm. So now the thing is, the question, why do we pay representatives and senators when they're not working?
Well, you know what the tipping point is going to be right now? When they reduce that unemployment from 550 to 350, that's the tipping point. Right? You know, that's when the people and they sign this voter ID, the people are going to rise up in Brunswick County.
You see, but here's the thing, that it didn't work during the last election. Why do they think it's going to work now?
Well, because you're taking money out of their pocket.
Well, yeah, but they said that before he was, so Obama could be elected, and nobody went along with it. Do they think that doing this now, because there's 4 years for the next presidential election, that they think they could get over? I mean, because this did not work. This did not work. It did not work, and I don't think it would ever work where they got people to come out and vote because they went this way. Barack Obama should not have been elected if they had done this right.
But, you know, I feel deep down inside a lot of times that the people just, you know, they cut off their nose and spike their face.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? And they're doing that because they have used the term, he's a black man and he's the president, so we don't want him. They still use that slave. Well, they're not slaves, but they're using the slave mentality.
They still take everything they can get out of him.
Yeah.
They don't let that when it comes to whether I can get some more food stamps or whether I can get health care.
Right.
They don't turn none of that down because the president is black, dude.
No. Well, see, that's the same. Now, here you have the House of Representatives. Out of 9 months, they're only in work a week out of every month. A week in Washington.
It's ridiculous.
I mean, this was, and the reason, and the Senate was not as bad, but the reason why they decided, they say, oh, we're going home to work in our, you know, in our district. No, the reason why they decided to only do that a week at a time is because the less time they have, about 5,000 hours that they have during their session during a year to work. They want to close and kill as many of those hours as possible so they can't get noise done. They wanted to bring the process to a standstill because of the Obama, the black man and the white. There has never been a president that has had so many filibusters. This is the first time they've had to have a filibuster on a nominee for president's cabinet. It has never been done before. So the thing is that it's always not a filibuster. We just go on a vacation. Well, you go on a vacation, you're supposed to elect, and he said, we're doing it now because we forced us to have a vote, and we didn't want to have one. Well, you know, the problem is they don't run the day one Senate.
Right.
They run the Senate. The president won, and the Senate is in Democratic hands. But they think that people are so stupid. And it's going to come out in the end, this time, not 2014. Oh, yeah, 2014. The president's next election.
Yeah.
2014. But they're going to have less. They lost. They were out by a million and a half votes in the House. more, a million and a half more Democrats voting for House members than Republican members.
Right. They got more Republican seats.
Right, because they had more, because they had 63 the last time. But they lost 31 seats. They, Democrats had 23 seats up for election. And the Republicans lost all of them. Democrats won all of them. So the problem is that they, when are they, the Tea Party doesn't care. They'd rather have the whole ship go over, do it, and then go to scratch, than to give up something, especially with this man in office.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to have to get out of here.
I appreciate you.
Yes, I'm going to have to step away.
Okay, that's fine.
But I'll be back.
I appreciate, we're going to see you tomorrow.
You're
the workshop. Because I'm going to do some interviews tomorrow.
Yes, I'll be at the workshop, and I'll be here tomorrow night.
Very good. All right, thank you again. Okay.
Thank you very much.
Very good. Thank you. Huh? Oh, yes, I no, I'll give it to you later. Okay. Is that not with me?
All right.
Okay. Well, that was delightful. That was delightful. We had Walter sitting in for a year. He actually had some business to take care of with our guests. And let me see. Let me put the microphone. Twist it around.
Not all about the microphone.
Anyway. What I was saying before is that we have a couple of things that I wanted to talk about here, and a few things that I wanted everybody to hear, which is Mr. Lindsey Graham. Mr. Lindsey Graham. You know, it's a real problem. We have people now who are supposedly great Democrats who are now just, you know, they complain about every single thing that this president must do. First up, let me tell you about this. Well, no, I'll play him later. Let's hear what... I have this loaded up here. Yes, I do. Let's hear what Senator Graham had to say about. Now, if I could find Senator Graham, I got it loaded into the pack here. Where the heck is Senator Graham? I don't have a loaded. I thought I had Graham listed in here, but let's load up the one for then. Which number, what number is it? Let's hear what McConnell said about the president's speech at the State of the Union. People that are employed, the more the employer makes. We're talking about between $7.25 and $1.75 an hour. You can raise the price $1.75. Is that going to prevent you from having a McDonald's hamburger? No, people that eat at McDonald's will eat at McDonald's no matter what, because it's cheaper than eating someplace else. But when McDonald's has more people, they can make more money because they will have more people more customers to come in. And people, the same people who buy McDonald's, now have a chance to spend money at McDonald's. This is what Ford did when he started making this moving machine, the automobile. He said, if I can build a car, or if I can't build a car at a low enough price for my own workers, then I can't sell the car. I mean, it just makes sense. Now we can go to this real idiot who I am really going to be tough on today. This guy is, this is what he said. This is Ted Cruz. You hear what he said about Hegel.
I will point out that right now this committee knows absolutely nothing about the personal compensation Chuck Hegel received in 2008, in 2009, or 2010. We do not know, for example, if he received compensation for giving paid speeches at extreme or radical groups. Senator Hegel is an honorable man. He served his country, and no one on this committee in any time should impugn his character or his integrity.
Now, that was Ted Cruz, and first and second one, of course, was John McCain. And Ted Cruz, who has never done anything to stand up for the rights of the people in this country, never has stood up or stood post to fight. Never stood up or stood post to have people safe as a policeman or as any law enforcement officer. So, what are we to make of a man who talks big, who had a Cuban father, came here, running from Castro, which is, I hope he did a lot of damage before he left. But why are we supposed to take somebody's word for it? Talking about the character and impugning the reputation of a war hero who was shot, his brother was shot, someone who stood up for this country and has risked his life. He has risked his life to protect this country with everything that was thrown out in front of him as a grunt in the jungles of Vietnam. Ted Cruz doesn't know what it is to be in the jungles anyway. Ted Cruz grew up not having to worry about ever going to fight for his country. And these are the people who will come out and talk all this garbage like that other clown, that singer, I forgot his name. He's not even worth saying it, but this, who, you know, what is his name? I can't think of his name. But anyway, you know it's going to bother me. But maybe he's not even worth remembering. Maybe his name is not even worth mentioning. Because he's done nothing for this country. And Ted Cruz, on the other hand, has made a laughing stock out of the Republican Party. That's what he's saying. The Republican Party with this man is a laughing stock. Because he is one more notch in the continuing saga of Republican stupidity. and they should be ashamed to have anybody spout the nonsense about a hero who fought. This isn't the first rodeo for this Republican Party. They destroyed Amanda ran for Senate, who lost three limbs. She was in a wheelchair. So this is not the first rodeo that they've been at where they tried to destroy and did destroy the other person's reputation. This is not their first rodeo, and it probably won't be the last, but it's among the last that they will ever do. It's among the last they will ever do. Now, we also have a, kind of have to get to Mr. McCain. John McCain is a hero. John McCain took the abuse as a captive and well, let me just play this for you and you'll hear.
Were you correct or incorrect when you said that the surge would be the most dangerous foreign policy blunder in this country since Vietnam? Were you correct or incorrect?
My
yes or no?
My reference to the surge being the most dangerous.
Senator Hagel, the question is, were you right or wrong? That's a pretty straightforward question.
Well,
I would like to answer whether you were right or wrong, and then you are free to elaborate.
Well, I'm not going to give you a yes or no answer.
Well, if you could show that you refuse to answer that question, now please go ahead.
Well, if you would like me to explain why.
Oh, I actually would like an answer, yes or no.
Well, I'm not going to give you a yes or no. I think it's far more complicated than that. As I've already said, my answer is I'll defer that judgment to history. As to the comment I made about the most dangerous foreign policy decision since Vietnam was about not just the surge, but the overall war of choice going into Iraq.
He's already made a judgment about the surge, sir, and you're on the wrong side of it.
Now, this is John McCain, who I just gave some real credit to. He has been a credit to his country. But John McCain is a bitter old man. He has turned out to be a bitter old man because he was cheated from becoming, for running for president of the Republican Party a few years back. Then when he finally got the chance to run, he had to take Sarah Palin just to get in the game. And not only that, he lost to a black man. And he will always be known as the first white man to lose to a black man as president of the United States. That's what he's going to be known as. And people may not think that, but that's what it's going to be. And it'll be in a red. Who's the first person to lose to a black candidate? And it will be John McCain. So John McCain is now a bitter old man. He's a real bitter old man. And there's nothing that we can do about it. Because it's not going to change. It's not going to change. So, when I see that, and I hear that, there's nothing that you can say. John McCain did defend Hagel against the reprehensible things that Ted Cruz said about our war heroes. John McCain says, now you shouldn't be saying that. But you know, he really wasn't convincing. He is bitter, and he will stay bitter. So anything you hear from John McCain is going to be absolutely worthless from now on. Now, there was a thing here where the Chuck Taylor gave up to the committee of why he will be the strongest candidate for the DOD. I'd like to play that right now.
I saw it from the bottom. I saw what happens. I saw the consequences and the suffering and the horror of war. So I did question a surge. It wasn't an aberration to me ever. I always ask the question, is this going to be worth the sacrifice? Because there will be sacrifice. In the surge case in Iraq, we lost almost 1,200 dead Americans during that surge, and thousands of wounded. Now, was it required? Was it necessary? Senator McCain has his own opinion on that, shared by others. I'm not sure. I'm not that certain that it was required.
And just like Morning Joe said,
the seeds are being planted right now for the destruction of the House Republican majority. They're being planted.
We haven't even talked about guns.
They are sworn in today. We haven't even talked about Sandy Hook. We haven't talked about,
think about that,
being wrapped as the party of Wayne LaPierre instead of the party of Ronald Reagan. The extremism that is going to be wrapped around this party. The men and women being sworn in today start behind the eight ball. They are already on their way to making Nancy Pelosi the next Speaker of the House.
Neil Lick, I am hoping that Jay Scarborough is right.
Now, that was recorded off of Lawrence O'Donnell. This is what Jeff Scarborough said. So we now have a president who wants to get this country moving. And the only way to get them moving is to have people who are willing to follow. And he has a mandate, and like George Bush, who never had a mandate. And he wants to get this. As I said, there are several things that are on his list for movement. And he said that he would use executive power if the Republicans do not act. He said if Congress won't act soon to protect future generations, I will direct my cabinet to come up with executive actions we can take now and in the future to reduce pollution, prepare our committees for the consequences of climate change, and speed up transition to more suitable sources of energy. He also said that he wants to create an energy security trust. He said, which would be funded by revenue from oil and gas development on federal land and offshore, and is focused around one achievable goal, shipping our cars and trucks off the oil. The other thing is, he wants to double the energy production by 2030. And fourth, he wants to make renewable energy productive, tax credits refundable, and permanent. So this is just in the energy field. The energy companies, these oil companies, are still getting tax breaks for oil that they've already dug. It's just becoming outrageous. Now, let me just tell you something here about the guns. This is what the president also wants to do on gun control.
Idea's parents, Nate and Cleo, are in this chamber tonight, along with more than two dozen Americans who have been torn apart by gun violence. They deserve a vote. Gabby Gifford deserves a vote. The families of Newtown deserve a vote. The families of Aurora deserve a vote. The families of Oak Creek and Tucson and Blacksburg and the countless other communities just opened by gun violence, they deserve a simple vote.
You think they all deserve a vote? They all do deserve a vote. He said that at the State of the Union. And here's another thing that people deserve.
To raise the federal minimum wage to $9 an hour. Make high-quality preschool available to every single child in America. Pursue a bipartisan, market-based solution to climate change. A nonpartisan commission to improve the voting experience in America. We will ensure equal treatment for all service members and equal benefits for their families, gay and straight. Send me a comprehensive immigration reform bill in the next few months, and I will sign it right away, and America will be better for it.
Now, everybody is saying that these are the most ambitious agenda objectives that the president, that any president has ever asked for. Especially in this 113th Congress is going to filibuster everything that comes down the pipe. Senator Reid made a deal, handshake deal with McConnell about the filibuster. And out of the gate, they have reneged on it. The reverse of the party has reneged on their handshake. They reneged on it. So, what is the next step that the president or the speaker of the House can do in order to get the upper hand, which is what it is, it's the upper hand, to get things through? What the president said he's going to do by executive order. So now they've already put in one complaint and one suit to the Supreme Court that he's abusing executive orders. Well, the problem is that executive orders are the sole propriety of the executive branch. Each branch in the government runs itself, and they have separate but equal powers. So no one branch can tell another branch what to do. So will the Supreme Court hear this, or will they not? We don't know. That remains to be seen. So it is going to be a major, major problem with the in the next few months, whether or not this country will be run the way it should with three equal branches, or whether or not one branch, the legislative branch, will run the executive branch. Let's hope that the powers in the Supreme Court don't hear this ridiculous appeal. Now, there's one other thing that I'd like to talk about today. before we leave, and that is Mrs. Lent. And Startle Lent is always a challenge for a lot of people, because a lot of people make decisions to give up things for Lent. Well, let me tell you what I've given up for Lent. I have given up candy. I have given up cake. I have given up most all starches. I'm going to lose 10 pounds before Easter. So we'll see how that works. The problem is that it's difficult sometimes to stick to it. And it's going to be difficult here at this beautiful Shell Island Resort in Wrightville, North Carolina. Because the food smells delicious. So what we're going to do is we're going to my grandson. What happened was that during Easter, which was just this past Wednesday, my daughter saw my grandson, goes to Catholic school, he's in pre-K, 4 years old, Blake. With his class over to Mass, not about Mass. And what had happened was that they received ashes from the fire with all the other kids in school. And the time they get back to their classroom, the teacher said, not one, not two, but all 15 had no ashes in the fire. It seemed like they were looking at one another and wiping the ashes off the fire. She said she had never seen that before. Well, if I'm thinking correct, I think Blake did this, my grandson, because he is the leader, and if he tells everybody to do something, normally they do it. But he's a little guy with a lot of big ideas, and he is very funny. So we went to church that night because I needed to receive ashes, and I was going to send them about Mass. So we all went with me. My daughter went with me, and we go to Sacred Mass. So we're going down the aisle waiting in line. It was his turn. I was right behind him. And the priest, Father Carl, knows him quite well. Father Carl says, he says, you know, I did this already. I got ashes before. Father Carl says, yeah, well, you don't have none on your forehead, so you're going to get some more right now. He goes, okay. So it was so funny. He came out. We'll be in the church. Father Carl greeted everybody to come out. He says, they're still on your forehead. He said, yeah, my grandpa told me not to take them off. So I'm not going to take them off. Well, I was delighted that he said that. We had a big laugh about it. But this, and I spoke to my daughter the next day, and he kept them on his forehead this time. And he was... It was so funny in the morning. She said that she wouldn't let him wipe his face where the ashes were on his forehead. Wiped around it all around. She said, no, I'm supposed to keep it on now. So that was a lesson well learned. We are going to, this, I think it's coming up very shortly next week, is the All-Star Game basketball game. And it brings me back. I'm going to see if I can get Ted back on the show, Ted, and see if he can talk about the how it's going for the Hall of Fame for Roger Brown, which I think is a must-do thing that we have to pursue. And I'd like to play a short synopsis. I believe the documentary is going to be coming out on Roger Brown. It's the Roger Brown story. Probably the greatest, years ago, his high school basketball player that lived. He might be, he's in the top 15 probably in the best college basketball player ever lived. And although he didn't play that long, he would have been. But he is one of the best pro basketball players ever lived. And there's a lot of people in here that will vouch for that. So let's just listen to a short piece of the Roger Brown story, which is a documentary which will be coming out very shortly.
We called him the Raja. Oh, what a name. Out of New York City, close to fame.
When you come to New York City, you know, when you talk about, you know, Roger Brown, you don't have to say Roger Brown. All you have to say is Roger.
There he is. There's Roger. There's the Raja. R-A-J-A-H.
But I have to say, Brown is the greatest high school player I've ever seen anytime, anywhere. Boys, Wingate played the big one. Hawkins will face Brown, and that's exactly what happened. They went head-to-head.
And Roger showed the guy how to play basketball at the college. He took him outside, he took him inside, he was throwing jump shots, like you said, from Needix, from 8th Avenue.
It's the thing that fables are passed down from generation to generation, only this one is true.
They pulled them out of college. They had no clue what was going on. Locked them in a hotel room in Manhattan for a week. Grilled the hell out of them. What they did was they knew Jack Molina's. Big deal.
Every kid in the ghetto, and every ghetto in the country, knows the numbers guys and the drug dealers. Believe me, they know, because I knew them myself.
Banned for life. Are you kidding me? All the things that guys have done in this world, and they get a second chance and a third chance and a book of chances, and Connie Hawkins and Roger Brown, who did nothing, and they're banned.
He was robbed of his prime years. Those were all-star years. Those were history-making years.
There's a player I know over in Dayton, Ohio, that you should take a look at. I think he could... He could make it help to the basketball team.
If the big O recommends him, he's got to be pretty good. He was just incredible. He really was. He rocked this city.
The Pacers were the class of the league. Elijah was the class of the class.
How can nobody guard him one-on-one? I mean, you know, come on, man. You know how they say they can't guard Kobe one-on-one. They can't guard Michael one-on-one. They couldn't guard Ross Brown one-on-one.
And he'd make you fake right, like, boom, jump shot. Little quick step. 1-2, fake right, back left, jump shot, fake left, go right, 2 dribbles, jump shot, and that's what he did. he did a very good job of it also.
He was a playoff player. He was a money player with the money ball.
I mean, when you came to the wire in a ball game, I mean, this is when this guy really turned it on.
He always talked about using the tools of basketball for other reasons. Get your education, go back into your community, uplift your community.
Going into politics, law enforcement. So he became a model off the court as much as on the court.
That said something about him as a person, that he cared about the city as well as the sports team.
I paced the floor, started crying. There's a man I looked up to. He was ill. He can't die.
And, you know, he kind of looked out the car and he goes, wow. He goes, I wonder if this will be the last time I see the sky. And it really was.
Oh, man. I mean, this guy is like a great athlete, like you said, like a god. How do you die?
Only ABA guys and playground guys really know who Roger Brown really is. You know, I mean, it's a shame, man.
Jordan. Oscar Robertson, Jerry West. I mean, I think he was in that category of player.
Top 50 all time.
I put him in the top 50. Easily.
He can knock a few guys off that list.
Talk to him. I'll put him up against anybody. You put him in that last 2 minutes, I'll put him up against anybody.
he would have been known as one of the best players in the history of the game. And I don't think he got that chance.
What he went through and what he had to overcome and what he made of his life, pretty neat. Pretty neat.
Now it's up to us to tell the story, because not many people know number 35.
That's the story of Roger Brown, which will be made public big time with the new documentary. Now we got to get out of here. This is the last word, Michael Lawson. I'm going to send you out. Hey, listen to the Oscars. It's going to be going to celebrate the 50th anniversary of James Bond. So we're going to go out with James Bond.
Russia with love, I fly to you, much wiser since my goodbye to you. I've traveled the world.
like the moon, break a bone in search of his dream of gold. You can see so much in me, so much in me that's new.
Golden night.